All right, everybody, Movie Talks and Chill here. We're your hosts. I'm Tony Serrato.
I'm Gavin Butts.
I'm Patrick Wall.
And we are on day two of the Sunscreen Film Festival. The official starting of it yesterday was the red carpet kickoff. Yes. Today is beginning the first screening at, was it 10?
Yes, so the Guru.
The Guru, yes. So it seems to be a pretty big deal around here. They have their own...
It seems to be a very athletic and nutrition-based documentary.
Yeah, the man that just ran by looked like he could... You know, crush my skull with his with his
bicep. A lot of the people coming to see this movie look just ripped.
So we got, you know, it's just kind of kicking off. Everybody's starting to get here. We will be doing a bunch of interviews. It's going to be a big, thing, man. I think even based on what we saw yesterday, just the kickoff and time frame of the red carpet was a lot more than I saw at that time last year.
Yeah.
Not saying that it didn't get big last year, but it got big as time went on. This one was like, bam, right at like 5:30, 6 o'clock.
And I also think it helped condense because we had, you know, the courtyard now is under construction, so people couldn't meander through there and, you know, get in their own little groups. Everybody had to be close together.
Oh, yeah.
We were funneled like cattle.
Yes.
And but, then if my shoe broke, that was a fun part last night.
Floppy feet.
Yep.
Floppy toes.
Nick, give us a call. We've got an idea for the sequel to Hanky Panky.
Killer shoe.
Taming of the soul. Yeah. Hanky Panky 2. We might get sued by Nick now.
Yeah.
Hanky Panky 2 Parabellum.
What? Yeah, I'm not going to tell that joke. Never mind. But yeah, we just wanted to kind of do a quick little kickoff, you know, as the sunscreen's just now really, really starting. There's a lot of blocked films going on today. Mm-hmm. What we'll be doing is we'll come back on in a little while. If we don't have an interview, we'll jump back on right away and just kind of give you a rundown of some of the stuff that's playing and everything. And we'll kind of go through.
Well, a quick heads up, friend of the show, Brian Williams, his movie is premiering tonight at 6:30.
Yep, Brian is also the marketing director here of Sunscreen. So,
yes, he is.
You know, he handles all any of the marketing stuff, all the social media stuff. So
I think
everything
he'd rather you say Big B.
Big B, a.k.a. Big B.
When I got here,
a.k.a. Big B.
A.k.a.
When I was walking in here at 9 o'clock, I already saw him just lugging around equipment in, like, shorts and, like, a sleeveless, like, shirt, just getting ready for the premiere at 10.
Getting pumped.
Yeah, they had the second showing of the Guru.
Yeah, he is not the smallest guy in the world, so I'm sure he had a part in the Guru.
Oh, yeah, probably. But yeah, so that one's, you said, was Savage, right?
Savage, yeah. Premier Sunday at 6:30.
Mm-hmm. Are they doing a second showing, or is it...
I only saw the one.
Okay. I know there's a couple movies that have, like, two showings.
Yeah, I know the Guru has two. I think Corin Nemec's, like, Kevin Sorbo, Dean Cain movie has two showings this weekend. I'm not sure about Savage. We'll definitely have Doug and Brian on, and hopefully Ben on this weekend.
So yeah, and Tony Armour, the founder of this festival. Yeah. We just met up with him for a minute. He'll be jumping on at some point.
He saw us eating our AMC breakfast,
which
for me was nachos, and for Gavin was very expensive sliders.
That nice, healthy 5,000 calorie.
Hey, according to the board, it only said 800.
Yeah, right.
The problem is I also had a hot dog, so I'm up to 1,600.
800 per chip.
Yeah.
And one dip.
Yeah.
You dip twice, and you ate every chip.
Oh, God, what have we done?
Yeah, don't dip twice.
You just gained 17,000 pounds. So, anyway, but, you know, we'll keep you guys up to date, but just wanted to say hello and get an official run for the Sunscreen Film Festival. Day two. It's Friday. Things are kicking off. It's only 10:48 now, so it's just beginning. We got a lot of stuff to cover, so, you know, stay with us, and we'll talk to you then. For Movie Talks and Chill, we're your hosts. I'm Tony Serrato.
I'm Gavin Butts.
I'm Patrick Wall.
All right, guys, take care. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Movie Talks and Chill. We're your hosts. I'm Tony Serrato.
I'm Gavin Butts.
I'm Patrick Wall.
And our special guest here.
Hey, I'm Kyle Franklin.
And Kyle, what are you here promoting?
I'm the founder of Moshe Boga.
Nice.
Moshe Boga is a universal streaming service TV guide. So it's like Just Watch in that you can launch all of the movies and shows on all of your streaming services from a single app. And it is actually through a data partnership with Just Watch that I have all of that. But it's actually more than that because it's also... based on the belief that the best recommendations just come directly from your friends and that the most... and that picking movies and shows alone, like, I just disagree with the way that I interact with streaming services. I sit down, I click them, I'm looking at these generic lists of what's trending and, like, what's recommended to me by an algorithm, and it's alone, and I'm like, you know, like picking movies and watching movies is like drinking beer. Like, it's more fun when you're with friends, and the beer tastes better when you're drinking it with other people who enjoy it as well.
Yep.
When you're drinking it alone, the beer just doesn't taste as good. And it's the same thing. I love movies. I love shows. And I was like, why? Like, I want to watch what my friends are watching, that we can talk about it. I want to watch it with them. And even though I'm not watching it with them, I want to just talk to them about it afterwards. So now I just open up Moshe Boga. I saw, for example, I was thinking about watching Banshees of Inisherin, but I hadn't actually seen it. My buddy Carl Merritt wrote a review for it and recommended it. And I literally just opened Moshe Boga, saw that he recommended it, and I was on Max. And I went, oh, okay, I'm going to watch that right now. And I just played it. Because that's how it should actually be, is just displaying the ratings and recommendations of your friends and sending chats about it with them inside the app. So yeah, I made it.
That would be great, because one of the guys that I work with, me and him both liked Halo series.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've already watched the second series. He didn't even know the second one was out yet. I was mm-hmm. like, where have you been? Like, catch up. I can't talk to you about it yet.
I know. I didn't even know that Killing Eve, I was like really into watching Killing Eve with my wife, and we didn't even realize that there were four seasons all of a sudden. Like, we just like forgot about it, like, for somehow. And we were like, oh, we really liked that show. That was a wild ride.
No, that's awesome, man. I kind of feel like this is an app version of me. Because I'm out and about, everybody who knows me, I've been a cinephile for a long time.
Yep.
I've made movies in the past and everything.
That's every one way to put it.
Yeah. So, but everybody's always like, you sit around, hey, Tony, what should I watch tonight? Hey, Tony, what should I do tonight?
Yeah.
What's good tonight? Well, if it's a horror and it was like something, I'm like, what do you want, 80s, 90s? What genre do you want? So, but that's awesome. I like that idea. That's great. That's really cool.
Yeah, it's a simple idea, and it's, you know, it's social media meets a universal streaming service guide, but I've been very careful and very strategic, and I'm making improvements on it right now with future updates that I'm working on to basically mitigate all of the negative aspects of social media while taking advantage of the positive aspects. Like, for example, I'm structuring the whole app so I don't even have to worry about content moderation, because I'm actually putting this entire thing inside of a WhatsApp. So it's okay. Basically going to be a WhatsApp chat where you can group chat with friends, individual chat with friends, send each other movies that you can launch from your chat, but it also has your profile. It has everything that's here, but also a chat, because the truth is I like writing reviews sometimes, and I like making lists sometimes, but I really like just speaking one-on-one with friends and saying, hey, I saw this movie, it made me think of you, I think you might watch it. And if you send it to them in a chat, it'll just load it into a list of movies that have been sent to them and who it's by. And I'm going to make an app for your TV that synchronizes with it so that you can just go on your TV and movies that people have sent you in your chat on Moshe Boga will be on your TV and you can launch it there too.
That's awesome. Going to be one of my questions. I'm assuming we can download this on Google Play and Apple Store right
It's
now.
On Google and Apple right now for iPhones, Androids, and tablets and iPads. But there's no smart TV app.
Yeah, okay. So I'm going to ask, like, are you working with Roku or something like that?
Yeah, that was going to be my question.
I need to get a smart TV app so that we can put this on Roku and Apple TVs, etc., Samsung. We get it on there so that it synchronizes with what's happening on your phone. And then we put this whole thing with a chat where you're sending people recommendations that go into lists automatically just by you sending it to direct friends. And, like, there you go.
Well, so if I open the movie in Moshe Boga, but it would actually pull up like HBO Max and start playing it on that application, right?
If you hit play now, if you open the movie, there's a whole dedicated movie page with ratings, and I show you all ratings and ratings from just people you follow, because I was like, the rotten... It's kind of funny, I made this... One of my first inspirations of this is I disagree with number and star rating systems, because I just don't know what they mean, like... 8.5 out of 10, 3.5 stars out of 5. I find it very confusing and skewed based on what somebody's arbitrary number scale is and what they're even talking about. Like, are they talking about, like, was the writing good? Was the acting good? What was it about it that you
liked?
That's
what I was going to ask. It's not like there's, like, 7 different star ratings, like, you know, for cinematography, for storyline, for acting, for writing.
It's a bonus thing I'm planning on making where you can get into the nitty-gritty on these, but not yet. But it's... It's like, I'm just going with, I disliked it, it was okay, I liked it, and I loved it. And then you have supplementals. It made me laugh, it made me cry, I'd rewatch it, and I would recommend
it. I'll give it 5 stars up until the ending, then that's 1 star.
Yeah. That would actually be funny. I was like, I wonder if I should make it so people can make custom ratings, where it's like, I have like 5, like, you know, writing, acting, like, mm-hmm. cinematography, and then have, like, a ad one where you can just make up a rating. Like, just, yeah. That would actually
they
be
They nailed
hilarious.
The costumes, but the monologue was terrible.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I always, the guys can tell you, I'm always, like, a technical person, so I mm-hmm. like to get into that portion of it. So, it sounds like a pretty big building project. Like, how long did it take you to design this thing?
Well, so, first off, I had the idea in 2014 mm-hmm. for a movie review site that matches you with other people based on your ratings.
Okay.
Because back in 2014, I was like, this just doesn't make any sense that I'm looking at reviews and this person might hate all of the things that I love and might like the things that I don't like. So then their review isn't actually for me. So I thought of a matching for movie reviews, and I have that on here. It shows you if you're a high match, medium match, low match, and you can actually see the percentage, like 85% rating similarity on 300 movies with this person. You can see all of that.
That sounds a little bit like OKCupid.
OKCupid for finding a movie to watch.
Yes.
I'm in. I'm downloading this right now.
Thank you. Thank you. And so that was my first idea, and I started trying to make it for about a month and a half by myself, and then when I realized how hard it was going to be, I gave up, and I moved. I quit. I was at a law firm, and I quit my job, and I moved to Maine, and I became a lobster fisherman for 7 years.
That is a big change.
I was in Boston at a law firm, and I realized I'd gone out of college, and I realized everything I had done was a mistake. And I moved to Maine, and I became a lobster fisherman. And so you can watch my YouTube video. I have some YouTube videos at Philosophy Dive Bar on Instagram and YouTube, but offshore lobster fishing on YouTube was got 750,000 views, which is cool. It's like a 6-minute video of all the boat. It's like an 80-foot steel boat. We go out like 200 miles offshore and we catch like tens of thousands of pounds of lobster. It's
nice.
So I did that and basically just kind of thought about my life and what I should be doing and got the confidence to try this again. And I tried and I started in 2020. And so it's been 4 years.
Nice.
It's been 4 years to get to this point right now. And
that's actually not that bad, though. I mean, that's pretty quick.
Yeah.
In the tech world, I mean, even...
Yeah, I had naive idealism in the beginning and thought I would be here quite a while ago. And now that it's been 4 years, I'm realizing, it's a 10-year. It's 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, this is straight up 10 years. And I'm a little bit... It almost makes me sad when I see other sites. Like, I see, like, new apps popping up that imitate some of the features I have, but I think they don't do it. I think they don't understand the problem well enough. Mm-hmm. So I think they all mess them up, which I'm like, okay. But they're making things, and I'm like, oh, yeah, there's people simultaneously trying to solve this problem. And
yeah.
It is a little bit of a race, and it makes me nervous because I don't have money, and I am alone, pretty much. I've actually got three. There's actually 4 other guys that I work with on this.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So there's 3 of them are in Washington, and one of them's in Idaho. All
right.
And they're great guys. And I've been working on with them from the very beginning. So it's all 5 of us.
Nice.
And so that's basically, you know, with the 5 of us together, we can do it. And might need to find some funding to help get the next leg. We'll see how.
Well, that's a good thing too. I mean, you're in a great place here for networking. I mean, for stuff like that. I mean, you know,
yes.
this film festival. That's one thing that a lot of people have said. You know, it's not only just it's fun. It's great. You know, it's a lot of good information. But there's great networking contacts, even for stuff that you wouldn't normally like. It's film festival, but like you could possibly find someone to network to do, you know, financing for this type of idea because it's about film. You know, that's what this whole thing's about.
I'm astonished by the positivity and the optimism that I'm seeing at this film festival. I mean, I'm meeting all of these people who have worked so hard to make all of these products, and they're excited to show them to each other, and they're excited to learn about each other's products.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here. I mean, just today, this board game, High Noon, they have all these expansion packs, and I'm sending it to my brother-in-law and my friends. they're all super hardcore board game guys, and I play board games with them, and they're always introducing me new stuff, and I'm because I'm like, this is really cool that this person who lives in Jacksonville made this whole board game series with all books for the store. I mean, it's incredible.
The amount of depth that he put behind it is astonishing.
Like, this is a serious, like, this is a...
It's got lore.
It's an achievement.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he worked as hard on that. I mean, I just can't even imagine. Like, that's a very seriously dedicated effort. And I'm meeting all kinds of people here who are like that. And it honestly just, it gives me a lot of hope.
Oh, yeah.
It really actually, like, I'm feeling really good talking to these people and seeing that we're all on the same trajectory together, and it's actually succeeding. Like, these people are succeeding.
It's not like Machiavellian backstabbing, I'm going to steal your idea you. It's like, I'm going to help you so you can help me sooner or later.
Yeah.
They're building each other up.
Probably one of our best interviews, or at least my favorite interview from last year. We had a lot of great interviews, but was like, we had a high school troupe up here
that
had their movie show.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just see, like, the starry eyes, and like they felt so inspired that their movie was here.
Yeah.
And then we asked them to come up. They were like just so excited to be here. It's like, we're just a local podcast. It's okay. this isn't LA 20 or something. You know.
Yeah. And even filmmaker to filmmaker, you know, these guys come up to each other, and it's not like, obviously everybody wants to win or you want to get best picture and everything, but regardless of the outcome, is everybody's interest about everybody else's movies.
Yes.
Right? You know, and that's what everybody has probably said, that you were the same as everybody else. Everyone said this is like just the energy and like the attitude at this film festival they've never seen really at any other festival. It's a lot of them are very competitive and very cutthroat and
really,
you know, a lot of the, you know, other
this
ones
is my first, so I've never seen any others.
Oh yeah, well I've been to a few. But yeah, no, this one, it's a very relaxed atmosphere, and it's very calm. But like, I tell everybody the same thing that they tell us, you know, their tagline motto is, it's a film festival by filmmakers for filmmakers. So even a lot of the volunteers and people that are at the desk downstairs, a lot of those people are working on films outside of this.
Yeah.
So it's like everybody is part of the industry in one way or another. So it's really kind of cool to see that energy.
Yeah, and coming here and seeing all these people with all this hard work they've done on these films, and then seeing some of these films and being really astonished, I was working on this for all these reasons, but until I actually showed up here, I didn't understand the power of that. I'm making a product where I can actually try to help these films promote themselves.
Yes.
Because the people who are standing in lines and filling up these theaters right now, I mean, they can go and give ratings and rate reviews for these films that don't have any presence on the internet right now because they're brand new films and festival.
Mm-hmm.
And they can get buzz going and generate some traffic so that when they go to streaming services, for example, they can showcase their platform here. And then when it's on the streaming service, that'll show up here and people can watch from here too. And it's like, I'm really interested in how I can help films basically gain prestige and promote themselves using the tool that I've made. And I was just talking to somebody about more brainstorming that I could do for actually how I could build special features for filmmakers here to leverage this.
So that was going to be my next question. I know like you're aggregating like HBO Max, Netflix, Amazon, all that fun stuff, but say one of the local films here, would they be able to upload it directly to your platform and people could watch it there? Or does it have to be on one of the bigger platforms?
I see. Yeah. I myself, Moshaboga is itself not a streaming platform.
Okay.
I was thinking yesterday, I was talking to some short filmmakers, and I'm trying to right now get all the filmmakers to know that we can build a full page for all of their short films on Moshaboga. And some of them, I already have pages for former films that they've made that are on streaming services. But they can be on this whether they're on a streaming service or not. So I'm making sure they know that and helping them build pages. But when I think about Moshaboga being a streaming platform, and I'm trying to understand, first I have to find the legality of that because of the fact that I'm a TV guide. Can I have my own streaming content, or would that void some sort of, because I have a official license partnership with these streaming services, that these are affiliate links, this is a monetized official thing, that if I'm putting things in, they might feel not so happy about that. But short films, I mean, short films are this, I think, you know, this could be, this is a little bit counter to what people are saying right now, because everybody says it's either about shows or full features, or it's like 1 minute TikTok videos. There's no attention right now for 8 or 10 or 15 minute short films. But, you know, what if short films are like in their pre-pickleball, you know what I mean? Like pickleball, I had never even really heard about pickleball, and it exploded in like the last year and a half because it was this lion in the wait. Like it was ready, but people just didn't know. Yep. And I'm wondering if there's gonna be a time, and it's coming ahead of us, where there's the right moment for a streaming platform to really launch the artistic, you know, the artistic medium of short film, and that it will actually be very successful. And what if Moshe Boga could be that? At least I could work with short film streaming platforms and try to help promote their content on Moshe Boga, so that while people are looking at Netflix and other things, I could actually promote short film platforms that would mix in, so I could try to get more attention on them.
I think also because most short films don't have like distribution, so I think it that's when the legality really kicks in, is if they don't have a distribution deal and you set up a contract with that individual person in their short film. Again, I'm not a lawyer, but if I remember correctly, as long as you set that up and you don't have a preset deal, you should be able to run that platform that way. There is, when after we're done here, maybe offline.
Because the streaming services are paying into Moshe Boga, I'm correct.
They don't pay. I get affiliate through it. I'm essentially advertising their content.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And so, like, that's where I think he's trying to get. But there's no market for short films on most of those
not
platforms.
Yet.
Exactly.
There's not a market until you create the market. That's the beauty thing. But once the market gets created, it gets flooded. As long as you're the first to really create that market, you can control it and monopolize it. Not monopolize it, but you would have, everybody else would then be a carbon copy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And after we're done recording the show here, there is a person, I'll give you a name of and some contact info, and she was actually working on setting up a channel on Roku, a streaming service, where she gets people to put their content. So, like we're
she might actually be here this weekend.
What's that?
She might actually be here this weekend.
She might be. So I'll get you that. But she knows about setting that kind of stuff up and everything. So, and she basically takes anything, like people with movies or shows or even us. Like, we were talking to her. She wanted us to be a podcast on there. She's like, do you have video content? Which we started last year doing video as well as audio. But because of that, it's just a contract directly to her. And then how that works outside, I don't know. But that's maybe someone you might want to talk to.
I would absolutely love to talk to her because the... Yeah, I think that there's one thing that's really interesting about the market for streaming services is that it does appear that subscription-based streaming platforms have peaked. I mean, of course, we know that this is true almost just given the fact that Netflix now has a cheaper subscription with ads. I mean, the dynamic, there's almost like a reverting back to, you know, ad-based TV. You know, FAST and AVID is the acronyms for these free advertised subscriptions, like advertised supported television, and like Tubi and Pluto and these sorts of things.
And I saw that Disney was going to start reverting to channels again.
Really?
For Star Wars, for Marvel, for Discovery.
So we need to pay $5 for each channel.
Right.
Yeah, that's a little bit weird.
So I'm like, wait a minute. So you guys are going back to what you wanted to get people away from. Like, they're trying to create not just freeform, but like a whole Disney network now.
It's tough. If our ad-based streaming television an avenue for short films, and that would create split profits between a streaming service and the filmmakers, that could be a model for short films to get in, because it's lower cost because no money has actually exchanged hands. Yep. It's all based on shared profits and based on the quantity of viewership. That's going to impact, you know, server space. So you're talking about, you know, cost of compute.
Yep.
So if everything is variable, but in this way and subject to whether people are watching and the ads, then, you know, maybe that's a viable model to get short films on in the market. I don't know.
I mean, it's great. I mean, first thing that pops into my head is, like, if you could create, you know, integrate that or you know, what you already have going, or create, you know, that specific thing that's streaming for short films, like just call it like Quick Shots or something. That would be like a short film streaming site. Mm. So because, you know, you're not doing like a regular, if you're perusing a movie, let's say you're sitting around the house, you're like, you know what, I don't really know what I want to watch, but you see an interesting title, okay, that's something, but you don't know what it is, or it's an indie film. Mm-hmm. Not all indie films are high budget, you know, very low budget. Mm-hmm. You know, after about 5-10 minutes, if you're not into it, you just shut it off. But with a short film, that's the 5-10 minutes. You've been able to at least, and then it could count for those numbers. As you know, like a lot of streaming things go by time frame. How long did people watch it for? Well, a person watches it for 10 minutes, and that's the full length of the short. You know, they could get higher ratings because of that. Like so many people finished it. If I'm making sense with that, so basically their views would go up because it'll show that like 100% of people watch the entire thing. Or like, with a regular movie that's an hour and a half long, if people shut it off after 20 minutes, say 100% of people watched up to 20 minutes, 80% watched up to 30 minutes, and then it drops down to 20% watch, and then a lot of people look at that rating, they're like, I don't think I want to watch it then. If out of all these people, they dropped out of this, probably not a good movie, but a short film, it's quick, you watch it, call it Quick Shots, and be done.
I like that name, Quick Shots, and I like...
You can have it, by the way.
We could have a Quick Shots. We could actually have... It would be... Yeah, I could have a tab that's just Quick Shots, and it's browse. Yeah, I could actually... So, the...
TikTok for movies.
Yeah, so, you know, but before I came to back to the festival this morning, I was, like, listening to some upbeat music that, like, you know, puts me in a mood, and, you know, sometimes I rewatch films that I've already seen 20 times just for little bits of it and things like this, and don't even necessarily rewatch the entire film, but specific scenes from it. And it makes me wonder that a metric for short films or quick shots could be rewatchability, because the thing is that a short film that's 5 to 10 minutes or something could be the kind of thing that people watch many times over the course of 10 years, for example, because it captures a feeling that they can only get there, just like I capture a feeling in a song that I can only get 100%. By returning to that song. And that's what Spotify, I mean, if you think about, like, you look at songs on YouTube and Spotify, and they have, you know, millions and millions of listens, and it's like, well, how many of that is really just 100,000 people listening to that song 10 times or 20 times? I mean, you know, sometimes I can listen to a song so many times, and short films might be more like music in that way. And so thinking about them like music might be the proper way to evaluate them and to monetize them.
Yeah.
And that could be powerful, because if nobody has figured out the proper business model for short films, and if I start going after short filmmakers and making Moshe Boga the home for them to integrate with all of the major streaming services, and then I get people going back because they want to recap, they want to feel that feeling again, then that could change everything. And that's a 10-year plan. And this is a 20-year plan. That
nice.
I
saw it here first, folks.
Yep. Well, the other nice thing too about it is, like you talked about, if you go into the profit sharing margin, where it's basically we don't get paid unless you get paid, that type of mentality, then there's no risk for the filmmaker.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like you're not like a PR person that they're paying or a distribution play. We've interviewed a very specific person, but multiple people that talk about distribution and some of the big pains and headaches they've had with distribution companies, and how you get not nearly what you're promised, and you put a lot into it. But if you go into something, especially people who make short films, probably don't have money. You know, they're scraping by just to make that short film. Now they have a platform to display their films or their content. They don't have to worry about putting out more money to get it displayed, and they may possibly make something from it in the end. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I think that sounds like a great model to me.
Yeah, I just need to check to make sure that with my data license for the streaming services that there's no conflict, and I just, which if I'm showing short films, they probably don't care anyways. And then I just need to make sure that the cost of running the films is less than the revenue of playing the films. And so that's pretty much, and I don't even need to have a no competition with the short filmmakers. It could be the kind of thing where it's like, we'll put you, if you get into the Sunscreen Film Festival, you're automatically, I could use them as the way of picking what films go
on.
That's
a great partnership.
Due diligence for you.
The due diligence yeah. could be film festivals themselves that I partner with, and that by getting picked, they automatically go in. And there could be no competition. There could be a no competition where basically if they're on Moshe Boga, they can still sell to any other streaming services.
Yeah.
It could create problems with those other streaming services that they're already on Moshe Boga. But I could, yeah, I have no reason to. I'm like a very optimistic person. I believe that like as long as you give everybody ownership over the work and the product and the things that you do, and then it and you just make sure your numbers are balanced.
It sounds
you're
like a
fine.
Film problem, not a Moshe Boga problem. Yeah.
It's not a Moshe Boga problem. Like it's like all employees have them vested in equity so that the employees of Moshe Boga actually own Moshe Boga. That's a no-brainer. You have to do that because if you don't have people that are working on the product owning the product, mm-hmm. then yeah. it's just not theirs. It's not the right way to do things. And that's exactly the way that the model should be if we do quick shots. Yep. It's a no-brainer.
Yep. I love win-wins. You know, those are great. I mean, they're the best kind of situations.
Yeah, it's the beauty of voluntary negotiation that everybody's collaborating of their own free will and accord.
Right.
And the other nice thing, too, is if they click on, like, you know, if you have the short film, like, database or a streaming service and they click on it, you know, it could also be added if they won at a film festival for something. That could be a little on the little tag in there, you know.
Yeah.
You know, best picture at the Sunscreen Film Festival in 2024, you know, and whatever other film festivals or wherever else it's been.
Yeah, because the accolades of where they've shown and what awards
it's it's no different than a movie poster or a movie Blu-ray. You know, on the bottom it always has, you know, winner of Sundance, you know, or best picture at Sundance or whatever. But,
absolutely.
You know, I think you're onto something, so I think that's an awesome idea.
Wow. I really like that name, Quick Shots. That's a fun one. Moshe Boga's Quick Shots.
There you go.
Brought to you by Tony.
There you go. All right. That sounds even better, man.
Oh, brought to you by Movie Talks and Chew.
Ask me Movie Talks.
Now we're never going to get Tony's head through the front door.
Down the goddamn stairwell. I have one last question. Where did you come up with the name Moshe Boga? I'm assuming there's a good story behind that one.
Yeah, so the first name I had was Movie Shelf. Because I was like, I want you to have a movie shelf. It's like, I have a movie shelf, and I like, there's a nostalgia to your movie shelf.
Yeah.
But I either couldn't get the URL, or I can't even remember anymore, because it was like 4 years ago. But then I thought of another name, Digmo, Digital Movies. I don't know why, but it's like a clothing company in Germany or something. And then I basically, every URL I thought of or looked at was very expensive or taken for something. And I was like, okay, I'm going to need to just invent my own word. So I invented my own word. And the way that I came up with it is it's actually movies, shows, books, games.
Ah, nice.
And so what my thinking was, so I started with only movies. Now I have all shows. It could have all books and all video games. It could literally be all of them and all podcasts and all... I could just keep expanding. I don't know if that's a good idea, because
I like the idea. Can I give you the $2 in cash I have in my wallet as an investment for putting video games on this?
As an investment.
Because video games, I was like, you know, it's we could literally.
I would be all about rating and reviewing video games on any platform.
Yeah, because, and it's an interesting thing, because I don't spend time on Twitch, but I know, like, you know, Twitch is the video game streaming place, but it's like. Yeah, we could totally just swap movies with video games and run everything almost the same. Mm-hmm. Instead of streaming services, it would be where you can buy them, which is available. I mean, it's all clickable link. Like, we could literally do this and, you know, it would be a slightly different in nature, but it's like you could find video games, you could find podcasts, you could find books, and we just change the way that you interact with all of these storytelling mediums. Because that's why I came up with... Because movies, shows, books, and games are all storytelling mediums.
Yes. Yep.
Yes. And my concern when I started Moshe Boga was that I think there's something wrong with the way that we're engaging with story on the internet, and that people haven't found the right way yet, which makes sense because we've only had the internet for a few decades. I mean, it's a little technically old, but you know, like, people have only been making social medias for, you know, a couple decades, and it's like, you know, think about thousands of years of the evolution of human language. And when you think about the tools that people have discovered over the course of thousands of years using human language to do things like construct mathematical proofs, to create scientific publications and journals and peer reviewing. And if you look at the internet, you'll notice that the mechanics of proof verification and feedback and all of these things that are on the internet, right, that people do in natural language, none of these things have technological applications where the application itself is actually a virtual embodiment of the mechanics of the language. And so I was like, okay, I'm just going to do it with movies and shows and books and games and show and just figure it out there. And I don't have it yet, but...
Something tells me you'll get there.
I will. Yeah, it's called Tidbits.
Okay.
It's a new wiki engine, and it's going to be called Tidbits, and it's going to be a way to find out information about movies and shows. Like, when you see a movie or show and it says, based on a true story...
How much?
Is it really...
Is it just the title?
Yeah, or is it loosely based? It's loosely based.
It's so weird to me that you see these movies that are based on a true story. I want to see the bibliography.
Yeah.
I want to see that the filmmakers went to the Library of Congress and they were pulling these old photographs of the people in the 20s or the Wright brothers with their, and I want to see all of that. I want to know everywhere that they got it from, all of the verification of that information. I want to know when they have dialogue, if they pulled that from somebody's diary. I want to know all of the source material.
Yep. Yeah.
It's really weird to me that that doesn't already exist. And the closest thing to it is if you go to Reddit and there's movie details, there's a subreddit called Movie Details. People post little factoids that are just little Easter eggs, little, oh, here's this, and people go, oh, cool, and they talk about it. That to me is inspirational. I love that, and people have that desire. That market is there for people to build proofs of things. They just don't have a platform to do it yet because the internet just hasn't evolved to that point yet.
Or possibly if there's any other like documentaries like on the movie itself. I remember watching one of Tom Hanks' movies, Bridge of Spies.
Oh yeah.
Had a really nice, cool documentary like 30 minutes after the film of these things actually happened, and they showed pictures of like what the Kremlin looked in 1950 on how in the movie and how they recreated it. It was almost like a mirror image. So it was really cool, like, to see a lot of those behind the scenes makings and like how they captured those photos. In this movie, they actually did go to like, you know, congressional photos and stuff from back in the time. So it was really neat to watch all that unfold.
Costume designers. Can you imagine the costume designers for the films? I mean, these people are academics. Like, costume designers are like, these people are hardcore. And they don't quite shine. That's one thing about Moshe Boga that I'm trying to get more focus on. People like that and writers, for example, too. So right now, I haven't made it public yet. But when you rate movies, we assign, based on your rating, we actually assign points to the actors, writers, and directors of the film. So if you're liking movies, we assign positive points for the actors, writers, and directors, and we get stats on them for you so that we have your rankings of your favorite writers, directors, and actors. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to make it so that when you go to your profile, you can actually go through and see, oh, this one person who I never heard their name before wrote four of my favorite movies. I didn't know this.
Yeah.
And you can actually just go to their page, and we actually already based the algorithm off of this. So the For You algorithm is we actually just compile all of the stats of your voting positively for actors, writers, and directors, and we just show you other things that they're involved in.
Okay.
And basically I'll make a stats page for that, but it's like bringing writers, for example, a little bit more into the world's attention so people can see what writers are doing. And I'd like to know what costume designers, what their thought process is. And, it's a really fun, like Shogun. I'm watching Shogun right now.
Yes.
And I'm like, I'm ready to sign up for a college course. I want to know what's going on. Like, I want to know everything about what this is based on, because these people are working hard.
So it's also like set designers too.
Yes.
Watching what set designers do. I mean, they make some incredible things. I mean, but think about it. You're like, okay, I got this room.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to make it look like, downtown New York City in 1929. Like, then you got to go back and you got to think of the just the work that you have to put into that, just to,
create,
you know,
historical pieces.
Just, yeah, finding all the information, yeah, and, like, finding old photos and, okay, matching this way, and, you know, that cobblestone had this, or, you know, this brownstone house, you know, had a chip in the brick right here, you know, do you put that in there? So some of those are, like, so in detail that it's amazing to watch, and I'm like, that's a hard job. I mean, it's very gratifying, but at the same time, nobody's paying attention to that name and that credit in the 18,000 credits that are going through,
yeah,
in the 3 minutes that the credits are rolling.
Yeah. You know?
Everybody sees the first couple things of the director, sometimes the producer, you know, depending on how they put the credits, but they're looking at the actors' names.
And that's where my 20-year goal, but hopefully it's going to be 10 years, is to make it so that Moshe Boga, because, you know, even when I see the competition, like when I see, like, people kind of making features like what I have over here, and they're coming, new stuff's coming out, I'm not really worried about it, because my long-term vision is very into Moshe Boga's where people are going to go to learn about all this,
yep,
stuff. Like, it's just going to be the Wikipedia of all movies and shows. It's just going to be. And it's going to be that you go there, like, I'm making all these features and doing all these things, and they're all really fun, and I like them. And it, you know, it's going to be inside this basically WhatsApp container that, you know, you can have group chats with your friends and send each other movies you can launch on your TV, even though you're on your phone, like, you can launch it from your TV, like, all this stuff. But I'm like, I'm going to win because people are going to go here to learn about the stuff that they watch.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's going to be the only place that they can really do that. And it's not going to be spammy. Like, every movie set I go to is, like, pop-up videos and pop-up,
yep,
ads.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that is, I will never do that. I just care too much about Moshe Boga to put that garbage on there.
Yep.
So
we appreciate that.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
No, but that's awesome, man. Thank you for joining us. You know, we appreciate. I learned a lot, actually.
There's
a lot of information.
I'm
excited about this. I'll be downloading when we're done here. And then, you know, offline, we'll, like I said, I'll get you that information. Or if you have an email, I can just forward it to you.
Yeah.
Talk to that woman about, like, the legality portion stuff. And overall, just, you know, good luck with everything. And, you know, hope you stay in touch with us. You know, we'll give you our card and our info. You keep us updated on how it's going. And then we could, you know, definitely get on there and, I look forward to it. So,
absolutely. Thank you very much, guys.
Guys, for the audience, we'll be back at Sunscreen Film Festival. This is still day number two. Got a lot of day left. Got a lot of weekend left. A lot of exciting things. A lot of great, you know, interviews so far. And great more to come. So until then, for Movie Talks and Chill, we are your hosts. I'm Tony Serrato.
I'm Gavin Butts.
I'm Patrick Wall.
And our special guest,
Kyle Franklin, founder of Moshe Boga.
All right, guys. Take care. All right, everybody, welcome back to Movie Talks and Chill, Sunscreen Film Festival, still day two. On our next interview, we are your hosts. I'm Tony Serrato.
I'm Gavin Butts.
I'm Beth Wall.
And if you'd like to introduce yourself, sir?
I am Tariq Abraham.
All right, and Tariq, so what brings you to Sunscreen Film Festival, and what are you working on?
So I met a man named Dwight a few weeks ago at another conference, and he was like, hey, you got to come out to this film festival in Florida. Just, if you can figure out how to get to Florida, I'm from L.A., if you figure out how to get to Florida, then we got you with a VIP ticket. I was like, I can't miss that opportunity.
No. And you said you didn't film here, but you have a film. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So, yeah, like you said, I don't have a film here at Sunscreen, but I worked on a project a couple of years ago called The Life of a Hoodie. Right now we're submitting it to festivals and kind of at that stage with everything. Mm-hmm. And soon enough, it'll be released to the public. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's just The Life of a Hoodie. So you're watching the story unfold from the perspective of a hoodie as it gets handed down, like the boyfriend gives it to the girlfriend, from there on out.
And then he never sees it again.
Yes, yes.
You might be surprised.
Oh.
You might be surprised.
that's interesting. So we're actually talking about an actual hoodie that you wear, like a hoodie sweatshirt.
Just like this.
Just like that. All right, so. That's an interesting idea. I don't think I've ever seen that one before.
Yeah, it was kind of a frustration fueled by having not gotten a hoodie response. You know, this would be a great film. It's mostly silent. We were surprised on set on one of the days. There was a date scene, and I kind of had the actors, like, make up dialogue so that their mouths were actually moving, but the dialogue they had was so good that I ended up keeping it in the film.
Nice.
But besides that scene, entirely silent.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Shot on 16mm film, so old-fashioned.
Old school.
So just hearing this description, it's reminding me of a movie called Rubber. It's an old independent movie from the early 2000s. I
have not seen it.
It's about a discarded tire who just gets psychic powers, and nobody talks, it just goes around killing people.
Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. I need to check it out.
Wow.
Rubber.
Yes, so... So,
life of well, assuming the hoodie kills
hoodie
people.
Part two, yeah, the hoodie just becomes self-aware and starts strangling people.
Yeah. Trying to get his, make his way back to the owner.
Well, we just
who's the real target?
We actually just recently, a couple weeks ago, we had an interview via Zoom from another gentleman from LA. Their PR company found our show on one of the platforms, and the guy liked us, and he's like, oh, you guys are kind of funny. So he had just done this movie called Hanky Panky, and it's about a handkerchief.
And a killer hat.
Yeah.
Voiced by Seth Green.
By who?
Seth Green.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if I know him, unfortunately.
You're Seth Robot Green.
Robot Chicken?
I know of the show,
Idle Hands?
He's basically a guy about my height with red hair, little skinnier, pale skin. He's been in like Buffy the Vampire Slayer TV
show.
If I
saw him, I probably would know him.
Yeah.
I'm so bad with names like that.
You ever seen Family Guy?
Yeah.
He voices Chris.
Yeah, he voices Chris.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know that voice.
So just, I want to throw that in there because we watched it and he's like, here's our screener. So he gave it to us before it went live. And it was very unique, very interesting, really funny though. And a quirky guy, but he's from LA as well. But so we're not... We're not used to inanimate object movies, you know? If I can say it that way.
For sure.
So how long is this film? Like, what's the length of it?
Including credits, it's a little over 11 minutes.
Okay.
So very short.
Well, that's and they say, so at the film festival here, the guys that run it, and they have to screen all the films that get submitted, and they've, a lot of them are short films. They're like, the best advice I can give people trying to do short films. People think short film, they think like, 30, 45 minutes. They're like, no, keep it short. If you can do like 5-10 minutes, maybe a few minutes more, between 5 and 15, I think. He said that's like the best time frame for short film.
Yeah, the script was like 6 pages total. And we just like, I'm one of those directors that prefers to like play it out in the scene rather than write it out on the script, And I just like, we were able to get 2 minutes out of each page. So.
Nice. Yeah, because I used to work in film stuff, and I say like the industry rule of thumb is usually like a page per minute, minute screen. And then, that's what we were talking to the other director about, and I said, because he's like, yeah, I didn't really follow that rule.
I kind of wrote the script more like a beat sheet. Initially, there wasn't a script, and then the producer I brought on, he kind of had some fighting words with me about not having a script. So I was like, all right, I'll just put it on paper for your sake. And
well, especially too when you say 6 pages, but you said there's almost no dialogue or very little dialogue in it, so you're basically writing just visionary is what you're writing. So 1 page of visionary could take multiple minutes just to get through, whether it's like pan outside, scene here, close up of this, guy making coffee, whatever it may be.
Exactly.
That takes time. So usually with those type films, you do not follow
the rules. It's a cool winter morn.
Yeah.
A lonely hoodie is sipping its morning coffee.
It reached the Financial Times and just says, fuck.
Man, the price of siblings is going up.
Look at those thread counts. I can't afford to go to a doctor right now.
Or it gets like washed one too many times, and then it's like sitting there and it starts getting some wear in it, and then you just see like a close up of the sleeve and a drop of water drip off like a tear.
Like a tear. Yeah, that would be funny.
To repair itself and just like staples it together. Pulls a John Wick at the end. Just staples.
Oh, that's funny.
So is this your first movie you've directed?
That's my first movie, period.
Oh, first movie, period. Oh, that's great.
I didn't really have a huge hand in producing, but I did a lot of. Like, I helped out a lot with the producing, but I wrote and directed it. I also DP'd it, because I didn't know anyone who could work with film.
Okay.
So I wore a lot of hats. I also edited it, also out of necessity. So
yep.
This is kind of how the first project goes.
Oh, right? Absolutely. So. Yes.
How long did it take you to make this film, from start to finish?
So I had the idea, let's say, April of 2020, and we started production in October.
2020.
And then post-production, because we had a completely original score, since initially the vision was to have for it to be a silent film. So my thought process when I was working on it was that the scorer needs to be like, you know how back in the day there would just be an organist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that was kind
at of the bottom idea. Of the stage
exactly.
or something. Yeah.
Exactly. So that was kind of my vision for the score, but it also needed to be the grounding element, because if you were just watching it with no music, I didn't even like that movie, you know what I mean? So my brother, actually, he's a composer, and he did the score for me. That took a year or two.
Okay.
And then there were some iterations of the final cut. We thought about adding sound design since it was mostly silent, but we were like, it works better without it. And then we did ADR on the dialogue scene for some of the lines that didn't come out good. And that ended up taking 2 years of post-production.
Okay.
So we started submitting, I think, December.
Oh, wow.
Last December to festivals. So.
Damn.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a process, but it didn't need to be that process, but it did what it
was. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
Taking much longer.
Yeah, yeah. And you'd be surprised. Even people who are well-seasoned filmmakers, that process still could take a long time,
oh, yeah.
you know, depending on where you're trying to get to. So what are some of the festivals you've submitted to?
Oh, I've submitted to all the big ones. Sundance. I didn't know about Sunscreen until it was too late, unfortunately.
There's always next year.
Always next year.
Because you can always resubmit the same film.
Yeah. Sometimes they're strict about it. Like, I submitted to one thinking that I was submitting for the 2023 cycle, but I was actually submitting for the 2024 cycle.
Okay.
And there was, like, a production cutoff date. So, like, if your film ended post-production on a certain date or later, then you're disqualified. I accidentally got disqualified from that.
I don't think they have that rule. I'm not going to pretend to speak for them, but I'm pretty sure.
As far as I know, as long as you have a final product before the submission end date, they will take you into consideration.
Yeah, so, and submissions usually start in like June or July. So right after this, in a couple months, just go to the Sunscreen website. I think they go through Film Freeway, if I'm correct on that.
Yeah, that's how I did everything.
Yeah, so you go through them. But, you know, we also have your contact. So if you want, when... Because we know a lot of the guys that run the film festival, they come and join our show outside of the film festival, like throughout the year. And they give us updates, and we help promote Sunscreen as well. So they start telling us, hey, you know, submissions start now. So when that happens, we can let you know.
Yeah, please do.
Yep.
Please do.
Because it is a, I mean, we love it, but what's your experience been here so far?
I got here this morning, so I'm like, this is hour four, maybe, of being at the festival.
Right off the boat.
Yeah, literally. I flew in from L.A. last night, slept on the plane, woke up, and I'm here. You know
okay.
what I mean?
Well, I'd say next year, if you come back next year, make sure you're here on Thursday at 5:30, because that's the red carpet kickoff, and then they have a really fun after party, but it's like glitz and glamour out there, you know, it feels like, well, you're from L.A., so it would feel like you're actually
it
in
feels like
Hollywood.
You're home. Yeah,
basically. I mean, it's nothing but cameras and fancy dresses and, you know, tuxes and everything. It's really cool.
Yeah, I just, my schedule has been so hectic this month. I would have loved to be here the entire time, but it didn't work out.
Yeah.
Next year, though. Next year.
So are you here just for today, or are you here
today? And then tomorrow, all day, I'll be here.
Okay.
I leave 28th early.
Okay. Yeah, so they have their after party, they do like their ceremony and stuff too, where they give away, like do the award ceremony on Saturday evening. So if you're here for that, you can go check that out as well.
Yeah, I made sure to be there.
Okay, good. Because that's a fun time, because last year they had, is it Martin Cove? Is that how you pronounce his name?
Yeah.
So the guy that played the John Kreese, the bad guy in Karate Kid.
Oh, yeah.
Not the kid, but the bad sensei. Yeah.
And he got a Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah, he was here last year because he had done a movie in Dunedin. I think it's called A Taste of Love.
Something
I think
like
what
that.
It was called. And but yeah, he was out here.
His son was the star.
Yes.
Starring role.
He wasn't sweeping the leg, though.
Yeah, he didn't sweep the leg. Yeah.
and occasionally, like some years, you know, they get some you know, really, really high end people here. And also last year they had Mitch Bell, who's the executive VP of Marvel. Who actually left Georgia while they were filming Captain America Winter Soldier to come down here for a couple days to kind of do some Q&As and stuff, and that was real fun. So you never know who you're going to meet, and it's actually very relaxed, very enjoyable experience here.
Yeah, I've been loving it so far. It's
awesome.
Chill. It's not like high pressure, and I'm like you said, I'm here to meet as many people as I can.
Yep, absolutely, and this is a place to do it, man. The networking here, and we were just, you know, the other gentleman that we were talking to a little bit ago who created this app this platform, and
I talked to him as well.
Did you? Yeah. So he was really cool, but he was like, you know, everybody's networking, and it's like this is not a competitive thing here. Like filmmakers want to learn from other filmmakers. Everybody's just enjoys it, real good vibe. So definitely, you know, enjoy your time while you're here, and you know, come back next year. But definitely submit your film and see what they say. So,
yeah, for sure.
But do you have any plans for what the next film is going to be?
That's a great question. So I am producing a couple projects right now, and then I'm writing I'm going to be directing the short film that I have a friend of mine writing. Mm-hmm. It's an action short film. I have a friend who's like pretty deep in the stunt world. He's been begging me to put him on an action film. So we have like this kind of like a bank heist situation for that short. The feature film, I can't say too much about because it's still very early. But in short, like thematically, it's kind of a story about like two people competing for the top spot as actors.
Okay.
And kind of like how jealousy and greed and envy can play a role in, you know, ruining relationships.
Okay.
That's being written and directed by a good friend of mine who is not here. I'm just producing. I'm there for the ride. I had a heart-to-heart with him one day. I was like, listen, man, we gotta come back strong. We gotta make something strong.
Good.
And this is the idea that he pitched me, and we've been running with it ever since. And then we're working on a documentary that, if all goes well, will go into production in July, early July.
Okay.
The only missing piece right now is funding, basically. But it's about voice actors. We're kind of pulling back the curtain on the trials and tribulations that they have to go through, and especially because they're like behind the screen most of the time, we're trying to like give them the opportunity to tell their story.
Mm-hmm.
And like we have, I don't know if you guys know Chris Judge or the video game God
of War. Christopher Judge,
yes,
from one of my favorite television shows.
Yes, we just got him on board as an EP.
Oh, okay.
So he's going to be helping out with a lot of the talent acquisition. He's going to be narrating the project, and he's going to be talent in the project.
Oh, I want updates on this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I have my contact, so.
Yep.
There's a voice actor, my favorite voice actor, his name is David Hayter.
Okay.
He wrote X1 and X2, and he was in Guyver 2 Dark Hero, but he was the voice of Solid Snake in the Metal Gear Solid
movies. Oh, nice.
He's very, not pro-living, like in a bad way, but he's very vocal about the voice acting community.
Yeah. You're honestly like our target audience. We're looking for people in that, like, crossover millennial Gen Z time frame that played video games like Metal Gear Solid.
And, that's my favorite video games.
Comic books, all that sort of stuff, you know? So it's really interesting. And the director, he's a huge nerd, but you wouldn't know it. You know what I mean? So that's kind of been the fun part for me, is like getting to know him better on that end of like understanding. I'm not a big comic book person myself. I'm a big video game person. Unfortunately, never played God of War. I just like barely missed
my
that.
Heart.
Yeah, I know. I need to. I need to go back.
I played all five games, so they're amazing.
Now you know how we feel when you say there's a movie you haven't seen.
Yeah. Right.
Well, this is upsetting. Do I do this to you guys all the time?
Yes,
the
table you do. Exactly.
Oh, I don't like this feeling. I have to go home and watch every movie ever made.
Yeah, right. There's a like book out there that's like
100
or 1,000 movies everyone must watch. I need to go through that one. Just watch every single one. But yeah, that's what I'm working on in short.
Nice. So I get the question I have too. So this, you said this was your first film you've done, or you know, first film ever. What were you doing before that, and then what kind of got you geared towards filmmaking?
I was in school. I was in college.
Okay.
So, 2020, the whole pandemic happened. We switched to online schooling, which was a very weird adjustment for me. Mm-hmm. And I was still doing a lot of like music videos. Like I had just moved to LA like a year and a half before the pandemic.
Okay.
You know, how old was I? 19 when I moved.
Okay.
So, you know, still getting my feet wet in the industry as a whole, meeting people, doing the music video thing to get my reps in. And when the whole pandemic thing happened, I saw a tweet, funny enough, that said Shakespeare wrote King Lear during a pandemic. And for whatever reason, that inspired me. I was like, all right, I'm putting everything aside and focusing on this film. I'm going to make it happen at all costs. And I did that.
Yeah, he did that.
Nice.
During the Black Plague.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or the Spanish flu, one of those two.
No, I think it was the Black Plague. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I know my history.
But yeah, so that's basically what inspired that. That's what I was doing before. And after the film, I started a production company where, well, it was a production company, but it really became a video service company where we help businesses grow their online presence.
Okay.
In high school and like middle school, I was doing a lot of gaming YouTube videos. I was playing Minecraft and putting out YouTube videos.
During the pandemic, I tried that and realized I suck.
Oh, no, it's great, bro. You just got to give it time, you know what I mean? It took me 3 years to, like, start to build confidence with it. But that's kind of where I learned how to edit. It's where I got, like, very inspired by other YouTubers. You may know Casey Neistat. I was very inspired by his style of vlogging. And slowly my transition to filmmaking happened in that time period. But I needed to pay the bills. So yeah. I realized that I have the knowledge of social media. I have the skills to make videos. Mm-hmm. Let me put those two together and help people grow their online presence.
Oh, okay. Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. So that's what I do, to keep the lights on.
Yeah.
I like to say that filmmaking is a hobby for me, which is weird, but I'm the kind of person that everything I do, I take very seriously. So if I'm going to, like, play video games, I'm going to stream them too, just because why not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I take films very seriously, although it's, I kind of try to keep it mentally as a hobby, because once you are doing things for the money, the attitude towards it shifts and you start, like, there's stakes involved. So I don't want to make movies to make money necessarily. I want to make movies because I like making movies. I like watching movies. I like all of that. It just so happens.
And if you happen to make money off of that.
Exactly.
No one's complaining. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like,
you put your vision in it.
Yeah. I went on a bender on Film Courage's YouTube channel. I don't know if you guys have heard of Film Courage. I love their platform from an education standpoint. And I, like, learned everything I need to know about distribution that way. And ever since then, I'm like, all right, let me just try to make a movie that can make money.
Well, that's really cool, man, and we definitely would hope to, you know, keep in contact. I know you got a prior engagement. I think you said you have to be at in a little bit, if I remember correctly. See, I listen. I pay attention to people, man. I try to be sensitive on these things.
What?
Shut up. You shut up. But no, seriously, thanks for joining. Let us know, like, we got your contact. Keep in touch with us. Let us know the progress of the short film that you're doing and on your next films that you're going to be working on.
Yeah, if you have any other products you want to promote, let us know. Yep. We'll throw them up on our socials.
Beautiful. Yeah, let us know. Great chatting. Thanks for awesome. For sitting
down. Thanks for joining.
Absolutely. No, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. And for you audience members out there, it's continuation of Day 2 Sunscreen Film Festival. We continue to do more interviews later on the rest of the day and the rest of the weekend. But until then, for Movie Talks and Chill, we're your hosts. I'm Tony Serrato.
I'm Gavin Butts.
I'm Patrick Wall.
I'm Tarek Abraham.
All right, guys. Take care.
Don't forget, guys, you can visit us at our website, movietalksandchill.com, email us at talktous@movietalksandchill.com, or find us on our YouTube channel.
You can also follow us on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Movie Talks and Chill.
You can listen to us on Spotify, Anchor, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, coming soon to Apple Podcasts, CastBox, and Overcast.
New episodes available every Wednesday. Talk to you then.
Theme music for our podcast was composed, arranged, and performed by Paul the Rock.